right. Oui, bitches.
Buongiorno, bitches.
Buongiorno, bitchy. We're
Well,
in France.
yeah, pardon the French, but we're in France.
Yeah, that's my fiance.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're wearing matching bugger hats and they fucking hate us.
Yeah, they can tell right away. They're gonna rob us later for sure.
That is a-okay. It's just more content. Am I right,
Hell
King?
yeah. But hey, if you're seeing this, that means we ran out of bank episodes because we've been gone for so long. Fiona's been in Florida with Nikki. I was out with Rodney. Then we met again in Florida for shows with
No.
Nikki.
We met in
Oh,
fucking
yeah. We met in
California.
California. It's been a month. We met in California, had some awesome shows in San Francisco and
Sacramento.
Sacramento. Then we went back to Florida so she could finish up that Florida leg with Nikki. Then we flew right out here to
Night
Nice, France.
bug.
God, you uncultured dummies.
Swine.
We flew out to Nice, France, and she's been at the Cannes International Festival of Creativity.
Which, if you don't know what that is,
It's
don't
insane.
feel bad. I didn't either, but it is so fucking cool. Look it up.
Yeah.
It's Cannes, Cannes.
ES. That's right. So, unfortunately, we haven't been able to record any episodes, so now we're forced to do what we never wanted to do in the first place, and that is release episode zero, which is the very first trial episode we ever tried to do.
And before you watch it,
Just give us some
just
grace.
know that we are the same people that you've grown to love.
Yeah, just remember that.
Okay, don't forget all the ground we've covered
It's a lot
together,
of ground.
the love we've
All
cultivated,
the love.
and the laughs we've had along the
The
way.
LPMs, what's the laughs per minute out there?
Fucking A, man. That'll make sense later, I promise.
Yeah, but we've got a lot of content from France and we've got a lot of content from Florida, so we're going to release some vlogs from that. And then we're going to try and pump out an episode with this beautiful background behind us. But in the meantime,
Oh
enjoy
my
episode
God.
zero.
Listen, okay, love you. Keep on ramping up. We'll see you soon.
Love you guys. Bye. Or hello. Bonjour. Merci.
Bonjour.
I don't know. We're breaking up. Shall we go and
Yeah.
start with some questions?
Go ahead, pick one of those bad boys out.
All right. How about this? Do you ever see yourself relocating to Austin? Should we
For
say
legal reasons, no.
for illegal reasons, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see what
I
happens.
could see it. It's possible. We love Austin.
Yeah, Austin's a great city.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
I think the only reason that we're probably not already there, Matt and I were both like born and raised in Nashville, basically.
Murfreesboro, shout out Murfreesboro, Tennessee, greatest place on earth.
Franklin, Tennessee. I don't have an affinity for it, but I'm from there.
Yeah, it's a real Romeo and Juliet story. Whichever the rich side was is Franklin, and whichever the poor side was is Murfreesboro.
Did you read Romeo and Juliet? That's that Murfreesboro education for you. No,
Wait, are
the
they both rich?
Montagues and the Capulets. You don't know the families?
Yeah, I just didn't want to get them wrong on the
No, that's
pod.
chill. Let's keep on moving. That's
All right,
awesome.
I'm starting to see what kind of podcast
No,
this
I
is.
really
No,
like
that's
those
fine.
for both of us. We
Nah.
can't afford marriage counseling, so we started a podcast.
Yeah. Also, right off the rip, you guys are probably wondering what in the hell are they recording this on? Right now, we're just finding utensils around the house and hooking up microphones to them,
No, Matt's
courtesy of.
not happy with the amount that I don't spend in the kitchen, so he's making me hold a spatula.
Just trying to give her a lot of subtle hints, like
Stand up. Yeah,
stand up,
clean the,
cook,
yeah.
clean.
Flip it.
Yeah.
Sizzle. I've
Yeah.
been in a kitchen before.
Okay, well, that's episode one.
Okay, Austin though.
Yeah, Austin's fantastic. We go there, what, about?
Like once every 2 months?
Yeah, once every 2 to 3 months, she goes out there to do Kill Tony. I go out there to just cheer her on. And we hit up a lot of local shows. We have a lot of fun. The mothership is everything you think it would be. It's a very well-run, tight-knit group of rascals.
Oh,
Where I'm going.
It's like reading the back of a book
Yeah.
that I would never read.
No. Austin
No.
rips. Nashville is very fun too, so
Yeah.
this is a place that we.
I think I don't know. Obviously, we're only speaking from like our own experience, but like maybe the difference is just the way comedy is like kind of like taken in Austin is a little different than Nashville. Like, there's definitely a base here for comedy and comedy fans and stuff like that, but there's more of a base for music, maybe here. There's sort of this competing thing going on. And Austin has great music too, but like comedy is really,
Yeah.
it's a bigger thing out there,
Yeah.
maybe.
Well, I mean, once Rogan and them moved out there, it
Yeah.
kind of became like the new hotspot, which everybody, I'm sure you guys are aware of by now. But Nashville is great for comedy. You've got a lot of great talent here. I mean, obviously Nate Bargatze reigns king in this city.
I
But
got
then,
Dusty Slay.
yeah, you got Dusty, you got John Chris, you got Aaron Weber.
Theo Boone.
You got Theo Von, who's kind of here in Austin, I
Yeah.
think, a lot. You got Fiona,
You got Matt.
you got me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is
We are fucking up right now. There's a lot of great comedians in Nashville.
Yeah, you got Amber, you got Zach, you got Connor,
Connor.
you got.
Just the first name basis, people.
Yeah, you'll have to guess who we're talking about. You do a real deep dive in the Nashville comedy scene.
It's great. We like
Oh, you got
Nashville.
Lee, Lee just moved to Nashville,
I
so
fucking love Lee. He
Lee's
was at
great.
Cincinnati
That's
Comedy.
a
Why
bald
are
boy,
we?
fellow bald
Okay.
man. Yeah. I feel like this first episode is just going to be titled Nashville versus Austin. And
Yeah.
Nashville has music. It's a music city. It has country music majorly. I feel like Austin's, I'm going to catch a lot of shit for saying this, but I feel like Austin's music scene is better than Nashville's music scene. I feel it's more eclectic and it's not as mainstream, maybe. I could be wrong. I've seen a lot of great bands
Damn,
in
those are
Nashville, and some of
fighting
my favorite
words.
bands are from Nashville. But Austin's music scene is very interesting. They got Austin City Limits Live, which is
You
nice.
know what? Fuck it. I'll say it. I'll say it. Austin has better street hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
Diddy dogs all the way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, Nashville, you're great, but
Well, that's the thing, Daddy Dogs. There's Diddy Dogs in Austin, and there's Daddy Dogs in Nashville. Daddy Dogs isn't street dogs anymore.
you
They
gotta
got a
go
brick and
in,
mortar.
sit down. I sit down too much.
I don't think she sits down enough.
Wanted to make this a standing podcast, but Matt said no.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, the food, I mean, the barbecue is great. In Austin, the barbecue here is barbecue
It's good.
for
We gotta
sure.
move on. I don't like this.
All right. Next question.
This is Lulu, by the way.
Yeah. Could there be wedding bells in the future for Fiona and Matt?
No.
Absolutely not. Next question.
No, we did get engaged. Most of you probably know at this point. We got engaged when? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, January 12th.
Yeah.
It was a pretty solid engagement, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, best one I've been a part of.
Yeah, what? How many have you been a part of?
Three.
Interesting. Anyway, I took sweet baby Angel over here to a place called Bad Idea because I figured that would throw off the scent that it was going to be an engagement night.
It really did, honestly.
And, you know, I'm not going to shit on that place, but they had a very interesting vibe at Bad Idea.
It was a bad idea.
Very interesting.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. The Manhattan was good.
The Manhattan was really
good. Yeah.
To be fair, we have friends that have gone there and said it was very good. So yeah, maybe
so we're Bad Idea sees this, maybe we just went on an off night.
Why don't you guys give us some conspiracy theories?
You believe it? Some good conspiracy theories? Yeah. I have one. I don't know if it is one, but I think I've talked about it on the Movie Ruiners. I have a conspiracy about the dental industry because I think all right, so a couple years ago I went to the dentist and I had cavities and he was like, they're not that bad, just make sure you grab some of our special toothpaste on the way out before you leave. And I'm like, okay. So I get to the checkout and, you know, I'm like, hey, he wanted me to get this toothpaste that you guys got or whatever. And they're like, oh, okay. So they go back and grab it. And it's like $30 for a tube of toothpaste, which is insane. And I like get in my car and look at it. And it just says anti-cavity toothpaste. And I was like, what is regular toothpaste? Is that not what it is? Is that not the whole point of toothpaste? So then I go home and try this toothpaste. It tastes like ass. It's not sweet or anything. It just does not taste good at all. It's a very bad tasting toothpaste that tastes like it works. That's when I was like, wait a minute. Regular toothpaste is sweet. Can you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
What makes stuff sweet?
Sugar.
And what causes cavities?
Sugar.
Sugar causes cavities.
Yes, it does.
The toothpaste they're selling us is giving us the problem that we have to go to the dentist to get fixed. We're keeping them in business.
My fiance, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't know?
Yeah, no, it's good.
I feel like that's a pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we're getting hosed. It's like, you know, one. No wonder 4 out of 5 dentists recommend Crest. It's keeping them in business.
Oh, my God.
Then one of them has a conscience. Oh, man.
Not really. What?
This says the anti-cavity toothpaste just has more fluoride in it.
So why not just do that?
Bro, it was one Google away this whole time. He's been telling me this for like 2 years. All right,
what is the podcast where we debunk my conspiracy theories immediately?
I like that.
How about another?
Another? I don't think we need shoes. I think they're making our feet soft. That's why if you look at the evolution of shoes, they got built to be the most comfortable, and now they're slowly going back to be the most bare minimum. I don't know if that's a conspiracy or if that's just like sports science. So anyway, that's Matt's conspiracy corner. I think we can kind of... I've had a good one going with the toothpaste. That's honestly the only one I have.
You got any?
No, I'm not really a conspiracy kind of lady.
Like no big pharma or anything?
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's just true. How every conspiracy theorist starts out.
Yeah.
Do you have any facts that other people don't really know?
Well, just, yeah, I mean, I think the cure for my disease already exists, but there's no money. It's not profitable to cure things. It's profitable to treat them. So they're coming out with treatments because that requires you to keep on buying more and more medicine. And there are used to do the cure. There are, like, cures that have been done in certain parts of the world. I can't remember. It's like, I don't know where.
For
FA, yeah. So it's like, do I move and get citizenship somewhere so I can eventually just take that, or?
I don't know. So if you do create a cure for something, what's the way to monetize it? Because, I mean, obviously it's one-time payment for the cure.
You can.
Or do you agree to cure somebody, but they have to pay like a lifetime membership fee of, if you get this shot, that's fine, but every month for the rest of your life, you have to pay a certain amount of money.
No, that person deserves to die if that's what they think about things. I think Big Pharma can suck on my dick. I don't give a fuck. I hate all of it.
Well, we'll probably have to take that part out.
Nope, leave it in, Brady. I don't. I mean, it's sad because it's like, I think the people working on treatments for, you know, what I have is called an orphan disease, meaning it's like more rare as a smaller amount of people suffering from it. But the scientists and stuff working on treatments for those diseases are good people, but you have to follow the funding. So stuff gets shut down so often because, I don't know, monkeys die sometimes, and I went to art school.
What?
Bro, I don't fucking know.
So why don't you tell us about your experience with all these trials that you can?
I can't really. I'm not allowed to super talk about it. I can talk about Skyclarys, which is the one treatment for FA, what I have. That has been FDA approved. My older sister, she has what I have as well. And she was in the clinical trials for this medication. So she's really been on the meds for like 5 years, and it was only approved maybe 9 months a year ago. The idea, because it hasn't been around for that long, in the grand scope of medicine, they can't really give you a definite and saying what it does or what positive effects it may have, because we have to watch lifetime, you know, we don't have that data yet. But my sister is 4 years older than me, and you would assume that means 4 years more progressed than I am, but because she's been on this medication that now I'm on, the idea is it paused her disease progression 5 years ago, which if you saw her, you would think, yeah, we're like very similar as far as progression goes. She might be a little better than me, which makes sense. Because I've caught up to the age she was when she started it, you know?
No, Skyclarys has been a big part of your life. And, I mean, it's essentially got you paused from progressing. And, I mean, I think people really want to know what's going on.
That's been like the funniest part. It's like the biggest thing I've noticed, and I think we all have, is it feels like maybe it's been helping my speech a little bit. And I've been getting more and more comments on, like, videos and shit. People being like, I knew she was faking it. Her voice sounds a little better. And I'm like, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I like how her head is just, like,
yeah, it's sweet. Also, just want to give a quick shout out to Fugler. This was a gift. And it is quite possibly the ugliest, cutest doll. Funny, ugly monster, Fugler. It looks like he has real human teeth and human eyes. It's kind of creepy, but cute at the same time.
Why don't we do biggest nightmare travel story?
My biggest nightmare one with or without Matt?
Let's do without.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
It's Fort Worth, right?
Yeah. There we go. So, I was headlining a club called, like, Big Laughs, I think, in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was pretty nervous flying there because I, at this point, hadn't really had to fly that far and travel that much on my own. Generally, Matt or someone is with me. But I had to go by myself, and I'm feeling like big shit because I'm fucking doing that bitch. Like, I'm getting to the airport. I think I may have had a connecting flight. Like, if it's like a lot. And I finally get to the part in the Fort Worth airport where you go to find an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my bags with me. I got my chair. Like, I've done it all, dude. Like, I'm feeling like a real taxpayer. You know what I'm saying? And I pull up. I call the Uber. And they pull up. And the moment I try to, like, zoom down to, like, get to my Uber, my chair shuts off. It stopped working entirely, and there was nothing I could fucking do. And the Uber is texting me. He's like, I'm here, where the fuck are you? And I can't move. Like, I have all these bags. I'm by myself. My chair is fully broken. And so I had to, like, grab a random person also waiting for his Uber. And I told him what was going on. He had to flag down my Uber. My guy's pissed. And I kind of get it now, but, you know. And so he has to pull up. And this old dude, like, helps pick me up and put me in the car. And he puts all my luggage for me in the trunk. My Uber driver did not speak English, and this was a really hard thing to explain. And I was like, I don't know. And so we pull up.
Did you say chair no worky?
No. Like, I'm going to kill it. And we pull up the hotel in Fort Worth, and he's, like, trying to get back to work quickly. But I'm like, I can't move, you know?
He just sets you out on the corner.
I swear to God, he's like, get in your fuck, like, get out of my car. And I'm like, and so I'm like trying to explain. He's not getting it. And then I got so fucking lucky because some guy on the street, as I'm like arguing with this Uber driver about how I don't know what to do. I need to, like, before he leaves, I need to flag down someone that works at the hotel or something. This guy recognized me from Kill Tony. And he was like, oh my God. And so now I'm in this broken chair. The Uber driver took off real quick the moment I got distracted. And, yeah, he helped push me into the hotel, and then the management people at this hotel were very sweet. They got me into this room. They went and found a manual wheelchair at a hotel down the road. But also had my chair turn back on and start working, which is real awkward.
Yeah, it makes it seem like you were faking it the whole time, yeah, just to get an extra chair.
There's a joke about crying wolf, but crying wheelchair or something.
Yeah.
I don't. Is it not chill to put a zen in? Is that would be.
I mean, they're going to know eventually. You think you can go a whole episode without a zen?
Okay, let me tell y'all something about me. Hold my hand when I say this. I used to vape. Cute, the sad music, pretty. I used to vape. And now. And now I
zen. We don't have a soundboard.
Yeah, but I'll do it in post.
Cue the sad music, slow zoom in and post. We'll clip this one for sure.
I used to zen. Or I used to vape.
Now I just zen.
Now I zen. Forgive me, Father.
I mean, you just confessed your zens on this podcast. Yeah.
Now I zen. I do worry I might be too vain to zen because it makes you look weird.
She looks like a who because she puts the zen in her upper lip.
Yeah, I'm an upper decker kind of gal. Can I actually have my zens? I think they're in the living room. Yeah. Oh. Sorry, guys. Zen break. I'll be right back after beep, beep, beep.
After a quick Zen break.
You think they're going to like me?
No. Fuck. I know. They haven't yet.
Matt. Oh. Matt. Oh, they're in my... Oh,
they're literally right beside you.
No, they're not.
They're in your purse.
Yeah, where's my purse?
I don't know. I gave it to you.
Why are you gaslighting me right now?
I don't know.
Okay, let's do a quick vote. Who do you think is taller?
Let me sit up straight.
Matt or Lulu? Bro, you got me right in the tip with these. That was crazy.
Nah, that's going to do numbers. Hold on. Can you hold both of these real quick?
Yeah.
Just talking to them.
Is this good? Are we doing a good job?
I think so.
I feel like we're just... I feel like this is just kind of like where we get used to podcasting. Look, this is episode one, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. It's a whole muscle. You got to learn to flex, and, you know...
I have atrophy.
Yeah. She has atrophy, and I just don't work out anymore, so... I used to be so strong.
Matt, do you have a travel story?
Yeah.
About him traveling to the gym.
Yeah, he did travel my ass to the gym.
Okay.
All right. Do I have a travel story? I don't know. Travel always sucks.
Oh, angry guy on the plane.
Oh, yeah. All right, so I was going to Vegas this year. And this is a 4-hour flight from Nashville to Vegas, and it's winter time. I always had the sniffles, but I'm sniffed up. I'm really congested this whole flight. So I'm just like quietly in the window seat trying to like, you know, just keep my shit from running everywhere. And we get all the way to Vegas, and this guy that's been sitting in the middle seat the whole time hasn't said a word to me. But as soon as we land, he like looks over at me and he goes, "I just want to let you know, you're the rudest motherfucker I've ever been around in my entire life." And I've got my headphones in, and I'm just like, what? I was like, I'm like laughing. I'm like, what'd you say? He goes, "You're the rudest motherfucker I've ever been around in my entire life." And I'm like, what the fuck did I do to you? He goes, "You're sniffling the whole damn flight." I go, "Well, hey, I appreciate you waiting until we land to say something, you fucking pussy." And he didn't like that at all. And then we just sat there in silence. I put my headphones back in. And, all right, bye, Lulu. She didn't like that story. I'm sorry. Yeah. I said the P word. Anyway, dude was like, "Well, I hope whenever you get where you're going, you get that shit fixed."
He got his ass.
Yeah, I've been gotten a lot, and I didn't know what to say after that. I just started sniffling as loud as I could until the plane deboarded, and that was it. That wasn't too bad. I mean, that caught me off guard. I really wanted to find that guy in Vegas for the rest of the trip. Just some old man that was raw dogging the whole flight, no headphones or anything, so you know he had to like hear me do these little quiet sniffles the whole time. But it's like the whole plane, it was winter time, so like the whole plane is sniffling and coughing and sneezing.
How old is this man? What has he been through? And why is sniffling the last fucking straw? Like, we know you've seen the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, now I can't stop talking about the Dust Bowl lately.
You got a conspiracy? Hold on. First of all, I want to say, I want to watch this back. I wish there was like a camera, because I feel like I wasn't sniffling that bad. But I'd imagine if I go back and look, I'm just like, oh, like right next to this guy. And he's just like, oh my God.
You're wiping your nose on his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm just like, "Hey, can I borrow your..." "Thanks, bud. I just want to let you know, you're the rudest motherfucker I've ever been around in my entire life."
That reminds me, one time, damn, I got a lot of bad traveling sucks when you're disabled, dude.
Tell me about it. No, tell me about
it. Okay. I was at the fucking Atlanta airport, and that airport's, like, really big. So there are those, like, wheelchair attendant things. Yeah. So you go to, they'll, like, lead you through the airport. If you have your own wheelchair, then they'll put you in one and push you through. We have all seen it. Okay. So I roll up. I showed up 3 hours early from my flight because I was nervous I'd miss it. And I roll over to the wheelchair attendant place, and this, like, family, I guess, of, like, 15 fucking people run in front of me on their legs to the wheelchair people, and they say they all need wheelchairs. So they line up 15 wheelchairs, everyone takes a seat, and there aren't that many wheelchair attendants, so I'm at the end of the line in my chair waiting, and so I made my flight by 10 minutes. Okay, I got there 3 hours early, and they had to take me and a group of like 5 people, part of the group that got me, you know, and I'm zooming in my own chair, and they're rolling my bag. It's this whole thing, but this family is fucking pissed. Like, the whole time they're screaming at each other. I don't know why. And then one of the ladies looks at me, and she was like, why the fuck did she get an electric chair, and we got these manual shitty chairs? And I was like, I brought my own. And she was like, ugh. And I was like, what the fuck? And then they got really mad because I do get to board first because I'm there's a hierarchy, and those motherfuckers did not make it even on. Okay, anyways, sorry. And I can't even get in the plane. They got really mad about that. So I'm in the handicap section, which is the front row on planes. Like on Southwest flights, yeah. And these two ladies that were mad about me having my own chair sat next to me. And I'm on the window seat. That was the issue. And they're in the middle and row aisle. I'm fucking the story up. At some point, I had to pee. And I can't really walk. I can stand, but I need, like, help. And I asked if they would, like, get up so I could get past them because I can't, like, scoot past people, you know? And they got real mad. And this lady was like, no, we don't have to do shit for you. We also got on early because we're disabled. And I was like, I'm going to piss myself. I need you to get up. And the flight attendant hears them yelling at me. And she comes over and she's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to pee, then we'll get up. I can't walk. She was like, y'all need to get up. What the fuck? And so, like, begrudgingly, they got up. I go to the bathroom. I'm coming back on my back. Another guy getting up to go to the bathroom recognized me. And these ladies heard that. And so I sit back down. They're like, so what do you do? That's so cool that people know who you are. And I was like, no, too late. Anyways, stop pretending to be disabled at the airport.
Yeah. It's dude, that's the good. Most money I've ever spent on tickets for people to fly on a plane. Oh, no. I just bombed on the first episode.
I don't know what that means.
I paid for them to be on that plane to get me well. Take that out, dude. Oh, no.
Keep it.
Oh, no. I had that chambered. Like, like once you were telling the story, like, oh, man, I can't wait to let this one rip. Oh, no. Well, there's a hierarchy to comedy, too. Hey, give me those knives. we're about to get a lot of views for this next clip. Man, that's crazy. Flying sucks. That flight back from Austin, worst turbulence I've ever experienced in my life.
Oh, my God.
We were flying back from Southwest, and we're flying Southwest back from Austin. Learn to talk, Matt. And the whole flight's great until we get like 30 minutes from Nashville. And, I mean, when I tell you it's the worst turbulence I've been in, it's the worst turbulence I've been in. You know? when good. I tell you it's the worst turbulence I've been in, it's the worst turbulence
you're
I've been
describing
in.
It really well.
Like when I'm describing things, I really want to describe things, you know?
You're describing the hell out of this flight, dude.
Dude, it's long, it has wings, there's wind.
Okay.
Fuck.
Really bad. Everyone around us is like texting their loved ones. Like, we're holding hands. I'm not religious, but sweaty. I said a prayer. Yeah. I was real nervous.
Yeah, and we take one attempt, and they can't land it. They got to, like, take back off into the sky, and the wind is just whipping. Then they circle back around, try a second landing, can't do it, take back off into the sky. And then they come around for a third time. All right. Come around for a third time, and they're like, hey, you know, if we don't land this, we got to divert to Atlanta, which obviously Atlanta sucks. And
I love Atlanta.
Atlanta City is great. Atlanta airport sucks. And we end up hitting the third landing pretty hard. And once we land, everybody's getting off the plane, and we're the last ones on. And the guy comes out after he lands. He's like, I just want to let you know, in my 22 years of flying, I've never seen anything like that. And we're like, that's what you want to hear when you have more flights in the future, you know? And then everybody's like boarded off, we're still on the plane. And he's like talking to like one of the stewardess. And he's like, hey, something's wrong with this plane. We need to get it checked out. So they had to like put a hold on reboarding that plane. They'd put like a hold on like reboarding that plane. And yeah, that was a nightmare flight too. So
yeah. What are some things that happened or people in your life at the start of your comedy career that kept you going?
Oh, I have a good one. There is no fucking way she remembered this, but before I really started comedy, I loved watching it and going to shows. And for my college graduation present, my mom and I went to Clusterfest in San Francisco. Yeah, in 2019. And that's like a festival with a bunch of comedy shows and shit. Like, everyone's there. It was really cool. And I was doing the meet and greet. And I don't know if y'all know who Fortune Feimster is.
Yeah.
Y'all fucking know. Yeah, she's amazing. But, Lou, I was doing the meet and greet with her. And at this time, I was walking with, like, a cane. And she, I don't know, when I'm nervous, I try to be funny. And so I was doing that, and she was like, you know, do you do stand-up? Are you trying to? And she made me do, like, 3 minutes for her in front of her. And
oh, that's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. And me and my mom were the last people in the meet and greet, so she had nothing but time to kill. So we were, like, sitting with her. We did that. She was like, I think you got something you need to keep working on. It's going to be hard. She told me about, like, her journey getting to where she is. And just, I don't know. It was very cool. It meant a lot to me. I've not met her again since then.
Yeah.
But I would love to, because she definitely, I mean, fucking everyone that's, like, funny in conversation thinks they can do stand-up, which is not the truth. But you don't know if you can't do it till you try, which is fucking difficult. But she really pushed me to give it good old college try, and now we are here.
Yeah. It's pretty sick. Yeah. I didn't have any, like, professional interaction.
I was thinking for you, because you told me about Nick Bush.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think of. When I first started, me and another comic in town, Nick Bush, we started around the same time, and we lived 30 minutes outside of the city. So, I mean, every night we would go to these open mics, and some of them went well, and some of them went really bad. And I think just having somebody on that car ride back after a bad set to kind of, like, Nick is always good at like pointing out the good parts of your set. So like, mm-hmm. even if I bombed, he would still manage to like, well, you did this good, you know, and like, it was just very encouraging. Cause I mean, if I had to take that 30 minute trip home alone after like staying up late, having to get up early the next morning, if I had to take this, oh, I thought we were going to pull him out. Probably dangerous for the first episode. But no, shout out Nick Bush. I mean, he's a very, very nice guy. And I mean, if it weren't for him when we started out, I don't know, it would have been a lot tougher and the road would have felt a lot longer. But that guy was just so nice. And, you know, we would kind of break down our sets. So we'd be like, all right, where he'd be like, where'd you do good? Right there. That was nice. You know, and it was just very encouraging, to be like, all right, well, maybe, you know, bombing isn't, it can feel so bad in the moment. But having that trip, having that trip home to like dissect it kind of like soften the blow and help me keep going. And then Aaron Weber, a great comic, gave me some great advice. Just that, you know, if you have a bad set, you can only be mad as long as the set was. So like if you bomb for 30 minutes, you got 30 minutes to be pissed off about it before you, you know,
pull your pants up and get back after it. That advice with a lot of people, and I think that, including me, like that has helped.
Yeah, it's also funny though, because if somebody told me that after a bomb, I'd tell them to shut the fuck up and get out of my face.
Yeah.
Like if I just had a bad set, I'm like, you know, you'd only be as mad as long as that set was. I'd be like, don't ever talk to me. You'd be
as mad as it takes for your legs to heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the worst bomb you've ever seen?
You don't have to say who it is. I don't remember who it was, but it was at the same place that I bombed in Murfreesboro Bar and Grill. And it was a open mic, and this guy went up, and he had like 10 minutes, but the whole time he like kept making jokes. They didn't go well. And then he would just like start screaming at the crowd about like how bad they were and how they don't know what comedy is. And it got to the point where like it was so, everybody was uncomfortable. Like people were leaving, not out of like him doing bad, out of like fear that he was gonna like snap on this whole place. And then like I just kept thinking, like after he left, I'm like, that's the worst performance I've ever seen in my life. I was like, unless I see him somewhere else do that exact same act, I was like, then that is the most genius thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, that's the whole dude's whole act. It's brilliant. But it was scary. Like, you felt like you were in danger watching this guy just lose it in front of the whole crowd.
I've seen some pretty bad bombs before. I can't think of one that, like, really... For me, the tell... Yeah, it's either they get, like, really angry at the crowd and it's, like, chill, not really their fault, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's the people that, like, panic and they laugh really hard at their own jokes and it's the only laugh that ever happens in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot.
I had two early on that were bad. One, I got hired to do 10 minutes at a celebration of life. At like a wake to celebrate this family's father that had passed.
And he did not know the family.
I had no idea who the family was. It was all black family too. So we didn't really relate much. And I was like, the family was nice enough to like give me some insight on who their father was and like what he did. And I remember they told me that he was like a barber and a landscaper. And I was like, all right, I'll just write some jokes about that. But you can't write roast jokes about somebody who you have no idea who they are, about this person to their family. And I, to this day, I wrote one joke that I was like, that deserved more because it got nothing. But I was just like, you know, so-and-so, I heard he was a landscaper and a barber, you know, so he could trim your hedges and your edges in the same day. And as soon as that's I say good. That, I thought it was great. As soon as I say that, this guy in the crowd goes, uh-uh, don't even say it. He goes, uh-uh, don't even think about it. And I'm like looking down at this whole like list of like roast jokes I have for this deceased guy. And so then I just like go into my act. Like I clearly like am scared and just like go into my act. And it's so insanely quiet that I hear somebody swallow their food. After like I hit a punchline, I'm just like, and you just hear somebody like scrape the fork and like swallow it. And like I can hear them talking in the back. And this guy's like, at least the shrimp's good. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I just remembered my worst bum.
Yeah. And hang on, because it gets worse.
Shit. Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry.
No, it's okay. And then, let's be real. You're the only reason this podcast is going to have any success. So if you want to share your story, just cut me off whenever. But so I'm bombing. I get off stage. B-Tuck, the comic from Atlanta, is the guy that's like closing it out, you know? So he's watching me and I get off stage. He's like, God dang. Like whenever I'm off, I'm like, yeah. And he goes out there and he's just like, he walks out and has like a Bernie Mac moment. You know, he's like, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers kind of thing. He just goes, uh-uh. And like, y'all ain't finna do me like y'all just did that poor little white boy. And they start dying laughing. He goes, he's going to go out to his car and get a gun and shoot up this whole place. And just levels it immediately. He's ripping. I leave because I had another set somewhere else, thank God. But yeah, not only that, but it was so bad that like he acknowledged it afterwards. And that's my second worst bomb story. But I want to hear this. I want to hear a story about you bombing for sure, because I very rarely see it.
This scarred me. I maybe 2 years ago, I got hired to do 45 minutes. So I got hired to do 45 minutes at a disability Comic-Con. Okay, which I was like, hell yeah, these are my people. And they were like, I was like, does that have to be clean? And they were like, no, just do you. And I was like, word, I got this. And there'll be people in wheelchairs, people that get my shit, you know what I mean? Oh, I show up, y'all. Everyone was a furry. That was the disability, I think. Like, I think I saw two people in wheelchairs, and one of them was furries? Like a comic that just came to watch.
Well, if you're a furry in a wheelchair, what are you, like a roadrunner or something? Go? What's your animal of choice?
A possum.
He's just playing dead.
That's a good question. What's yours?
If I had to be a furry, I don't know. That is a good question. Like, what would my animal be? I think like a lemur or something. Just bobbing around.
So I show up, I immediately realize like the disability is more so, and no fucking shit. It's like autism is really what they meant. Which, like, fuck yeah, hell yeah, autism. I don't got it, though, you know? And I don't have any jokes about autism because I'm not affected by that.
I have a ton.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very.
But I have ADHD. That's like autism's cousin, right?
Okay, goodbye.
They hang out.
So I'm like, fuck, and I had seen other comics go up, and everyone is bombing, and I'm headlining.
There were other comics on this show?
Yeah.
Oh, how bad did they eat it?
Bad. Well, they had, like, the bigger room, which is me, and then they had a smaller stage.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, can I not do this? And they were like, no, they'll love you. It'll be good. And also, 2 years ago, I didn't have 45 minutes. I was like, I'll do crowd work and riff for 10.
Hell yeah.
You don't do crowd work when no one will make eye contact with you.
This guy knows what I'm talking about, right?
No. Literally, I'm doing my set. Silence. I mean, no one is saying anything. And then in the middle of it, I was like, does anyone in here like comedy? And in unison, I shit you not, everyone goes, no.
Yeah. And that was the most verbal they'd been all day.
And I was like, geez Louise, this is a nightmare. And then I ended up kind of just turning it into a Q&A. Because they had questions for me, and it was, like, not funny questions. The first one I got was, how do you find the strength to keep going when life is so miserable for you?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. Let's address that one.
I was like, ha ha!
That's a deep question for somebody with autism to ask.
I know, and then they look right back down. Especially dressed as
Captain America.
Oh my god, there was one guy. I had like a booth where I was selling my stickers, which no one came to. And this guy comes up to me in like a, you know, get up, a costume of sorts. And he asked me for a hug. And I was like, sure. And so I gave him a hug and he disappeared. And like 15 minutes later, same guy comes back in a different costume and asks for another hug. And I was like, okay. And I think he thought I didn't know it was him. He did it one more time. Three costume changes. And I was like, do you want a photo? And he was like, yeah. Yeah.
Something I can take back to the hotel room.
Bro, no, that was, they were so nice. They paid so well. Like, all of it was great. But the worst was the sweet, sweet woman that, like, put this whole thing on and hired me right before I was leaving. She was like, hey, don't give up.
Like, I wasn't even thinking about it.
I know. Like, keep okay. on trying. It'll get no, better.
That old lady comes up. She goes, hey. You can only be as mad as long as that was.
It felt like 24 days. Yeah, what if it
feels like eternity? Can I ever get over it?
What about the best you've ever seen someone do?
What's the best I've ever seen someone do?
Or the best you've done?
This is so random, and I hate that I can't remember this guy's name. I think it was at an open mic in Austin, a Creek in the Game. This guy, and maybe it was for me, like, just my opinion, but he walks out on stage, and you get, like, 4 minutes, and for 3.5 minutes, he just keeps pacing the stage slowly and going, well, 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 and everyone's like, what the fuck, and right when he gets the light to get off stage, he goes, if it isn't the audience, and everyone burst out loud, like, it was so funny. That's not what you meant, but I like that.
I mean, the hardest I've seen anybody kill is Derek Stroop. Just, he's a good comic, great comic, amazing comic. He's been nice enough to take me on the road, but I'll have good sets where I'm like, damn, I just crushed. And then he'll go and show me exactly how comedy is supposed to be done. I mean, Derek Stroop, look him up. Dude's hilarious if he's coming to your town.
Derek Stroop, and I do not say this lightly. I think we both agree he's about to be like a fucking household name. Yeah,
it's only a matter of time with him. Who else have I seen just crush? You. I mean, what Cap City show was that in Austin that you just had?
Oh, shit, yeah. That was fun as shit.
All those shows were hot.
Oh, my God.
The Cedar City show in Lebanon. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Good times. Good people. Happy. We met, do you know?
Bucky Covington.
Bucky Covington from American Idol.
2006 American Idol. Was that? Yeah. He was at the, I think he was like one of the Lebanon Bar show we just did. Mm-hmm. And he was goofy as fuck. He gave us both standing ovations, like just his table.
Dude, his table was the best. I wish I could go to a show and at least have a table like that at every single one. Where, like, if it's not going good on the left side, you can just look over to the right and be like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, shout out Bucky Covington. Shout out Derek Stroop. What about you?
I was at Zany's. I was doing a spot on Maddie Smith's show a long time ago. And, fucking, there was, like, a pop-up show after. It's, like, random.
Yeah.
And it was, Shane Gillis and Nate Bargatze. And, they were like, yeah, it sold out in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, they just
and
posted.
I had never seen Shane, like, ever. I knew the name, I had never seen him, though. And they were like, you're welcome to, like, hang out and watch if you want. So I did.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both fucking monsters. But seeing Shane, never having seen him online, and then seeing him live for the first time at a sold-out Zany show. I mean, I was like, yeah. I don't think I've ever done comedy. Like, this is religious, you know?
Yeah, it was such a cool moment when they were both on. Because I don't know how. I don't think they've been on stage together before, but they were both on stage just like roasting each other. And with Shane, he was just, that's funny because that's only something that you're going to see like in that moment where you're like, oh my God, this is such a cool thing to even like watch. And just because Nate, you find, is like also very good at roasting. It's like just because he's clean doesn't mean he can't be mean. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was very funny.
What's the best roast you've ever heard about yourself?
Court Knox had the best roast on me so far.
What?
And it's more, I guess you have to be familiar with like the comedy club etiquette and stuff. But that's because I'm a small dude. I'm 5'6", 5'7". And Corey, he had a roast and it was like, I don't want to butcher it, but it was like, Matt uses yonder bags as sleeping bags or something like that. And I was just like, and yonder bags are the little tiny bags you have to put your phone in comedy clubs that they lock it up. And like everybody had to use yonder bags. So they're all looking at their yonder bags on the table as he just like roasted me. I was like, damn, that was
really good.
Yeah.
I think my Babs was from Zach Townsend here. He said, funerals are just a Roomba that bleeds once a month.
Oh man. And you can watch that whole roast on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Not my YouTube.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, that was a very good roast battle.
That was awesome. That was my first roast.
I don't think I have any of mine on tape.
That was the only one I've done.
Yeah. We almost got to roast each other.
Yeah, I had a good one for Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give it up for Andrew Tate, turd tot.
I got a... Oh, yeah, Fiona's a big fan of role play in the bedroom. Her her favorite one is Robo Cops and Robbers. No? Robo Cops and Robbers?
No, I get it.
Nah, fuck that. Y'all are ganging up on me now. Nah, hell no.
We just hit an hour.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
We do have a Patreon set up. It is $3 a month, and it will give you access to a couple of things we didn't show on here. Like what?
Oh, you know, like stuff that we can't release on YouTube, Spotify, or any of the major platforms. Also, we'll be doing personal roast with the Patreon. So if you you have yourself that you want to be roasted, or maybe a friend of yours, send us a picture and we'll do our best to give them hell and give you hell as well. Also, you'll be getting the episodes early and ad-free. And as we keep going, you know, we'll figure out different perks for the Patreon and ways to keep it cool and worth investing in. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
See you there.
That's it. That's the end of the first episode. Episode zero. Thanks for coming in. Bam, the cutie music. Yeah, all right.
All right, welcome to Ramping Up, episode, fuck me. You're watching Ramped Up. How do I start?
Also.
Do you want me to say this part?
Sure.
You online. Want me to say all of that? Well, well, well. Join Patreon to see Matt's wiener. Shut up.